Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 28th, 2012, episode 433. Good morning, horse people.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Glenn, are you there?
I'm here.
I don't know. The music ended strangely in my headphones, and I am half asleep anyway. So you're going to have to help me out a little bit today. I might struggle a bit. I can't help
it.
You were out. I was out late.
She has a huge hangover. She was out partying with the girls last night, and they went to a strip club. And
that is a lie.
All the Chippendales, and something happened. I don't know. She didn't get in until about 2 hours ago.
Wow.
Is that right?
Sounds way more exciting than what I actually did. No, I just had a friend in town who was in town to do some stuff, and we got to hang out last night, and I didn't get home till about 4 hours ago. So, and it was very all innocent, and I did not get drunk or anything. I wasn't even drinking, but it just was one of those things where I'm like, screw tomorrow. I can sleep when I'm dead. And
still feels like
dead
you have
right.
A hangover, though, doesn't it?
It sure does. Just lack of sleep makes, and because I like your horse girl list, I am usually in bed by 9 o'clock, where then my husband gets the remote control, and that was not the case last night. Actually, he stayed home, and I went out until 1 a.m. So, yeah, good times, good times. It was fun. It was very fun, but I'm definitely suffering a little bit this morning.
Well, it was funny. Last night, Jennifer goes to go to bed, and she hands me the remote, and she says, I'll have you know I'm giving it to you 2 minutes early. It was 8:58.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the list as it's been, as it's kind of known as right now, because let me just tell you, you must be sick today because you were viral yesterday, my friend, and it's all over the place. I just made that up, by the way. So we'll talk to Jennifer about what's coming up on today's show, and then I'm gonna bust you a little bit.
Okay. First fun.
Doesn't that just make you look forward to the rest of the show, Glenn?
Yeah, boy.
Buzzing
music.
On today's Thoroughly Thrilling Thursday edition, we have yet another team announced for upcoming championships. This time, it's the United States Pony Club Championships, and we're going to have our Pony Club report, and we will be chatting with some team members from Kentucky. And the 90s are the spotlight today on the Chronicle Report. Stay tuned and enjoy a little trot down not very recent memory lane. And for all you hardworking homeowners out there, cutting up downed trees thanks to Tropical Storm Debbie, happy Paul Bunyan Day.
I was doing that the other day. I was playing Paul Bunyan. Hey, I have two Daily Winnies, Jamie.
Okay.
One happy, one not so happy. But so I'll do the not so happy first. I just want to, again, send our thoughts and prayers to everybody in Colorado. I found out right before the show today that a good friend of our family's lost her home yesterday in the fires around Colorado Springs. And they came over the hill so fast, they had gotten the word, I guess they text it now or something, the evacuation orders on your phone, and they had gotten the word to get out, and they were going out the front door with all of their stuff as the fire hit their backyard. And their whole entire neighborhood was destroyed, and this fire is just totally out of control. And we just give our best to everybody up there in Colorado. We are thinking about you and your animals and your horses and your families and your homes. So I just wanted to say that this morning. Okay, now the good thing, Chancey Neal. Remember we played some of her music and Alan and Tammy sort of found her. She was the barrel racing cowgirl who started singing, and we joked the one day because she walked onto some big singer's bus. And, you know, remember we talked about that with Chancey Neal?
Yeah, she's a barrel racing horse chick who sings like you would not believe. I mean, the girl has some pipes on her that are just amazing, and she's very adorable, and she's very cute, and we have some very good news. Yeah, she's 18.
We played her music here. We're going to play a song of hers today. She wrote on her Facebook page yesterday, "Thanks to everyone for the congratulations on signing with Sony Records. And all the encouraging words along the way. I have some amazing fans. I'm unbelievably blessed and excited. It doesn't mean the hard work is over. It just means we're getting started. Bring on the hit songs." Congratulations to Chancey. She gets this for sure. You said when you heard her first song, you said, she's going to make it. This girl's going to make it. And you were right. I think she's going to make it.
Yeah, she is just the epitome of perfect country music. I mean, to be that young and that cute and that talented and to be a Western like she is, I mean, it is just order up country star. You know, that's the way that it works. I would like to tell you that I did hang out with my friend who is in the music business yesterday, and I was like, listen, you have to sign this guy. His name is Jared Rogerson, and he sings about horses and girls and peace, love, and horses. It was written about me. I'm like, you have to sign this guy. Of course, he doesn't sign anybody. So I was like, just so you know, this guy is going to be huge, and you need to back him right now. And he was like, okay, you're crazy.
You are Jared's biggest groupie.
I know, but I've never seen him before. I've never met him. Just talked to him on the phone, but I love his music. And so you can't really be a groupie unless you're, like, chasing somebody around the country, I think, or a roadie or whatever. But I would totally carry a guitar.
You can do that on Facebook now, chase him around.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Here's yours.
Well, we live in an age, Jennifer, where, you know, we need instant feedback. We need instant feedback about any opinion that we may have, because what do? We go to Facebook and we type it in. And how many times have you typed something in, listeners, on Facebook and then gone, how many comments did I get? How many likes? I mean, I will post something about Chad, and I'll go, oh, my God, hon, you already got 12 likes. So we're in an age, Jennifer, where we need that feedback. And your husband yesterday, you know, we had talked. He's been very negative. He's been very negative against her. You have.
Just keep your mouth shut here, Glenn.
Yes, I'm on a roll. Very negative about horse women and being a part of a couple involving horse people. Wait, you know, you've been bagging on us women. So I gave you the homework where you have to write a list of the good things about dating a horse woman. Well, in this Facebook age where we need immediate feedback, I would like to point out that yesterday you got at least 125 likes on your list. You got over 100 comments, and I quit going to other people's pages on other people's pages because the privacy thing eventually kicked in and I couldn't see everything. But you got at least 150 shares on your list. Of course, the list that I'm talking about is the happy things about dating a horse girl. And, you know, it was just posted on Horse Nation yesterday. Leslie Wiley stole it, put it on her website. And then this morning, where is it? Eventing Nation. They linked to it from Horse Nation. So so you are viral, my friend. You are sick as a dog. And, you know, everybody had a comment about their particular favorite ones. And they did make a point that you did leave off the sitting trot. Several people were very unhappy that you left off the sitting trot because on a big moving horse. That was another one. You got just lots of comments about how such a great list is. My personal favorite,
Can I make a point about that, though? I'm just going to say that not all of us have a big moving horse. So just saying.
Yeah, you don't. You have a quarter horse. But, yeah, so, you know, I did go over the list with my husband because all women out there should have gone over this list with the husband. And he gave you a round of applause, and he applauded number 10 by far the most, which is, have you ever seen the two-point position? And that is his favorite position on a horse. That's what he likes to practice. So congratulations. You are very viral. You got instant feedback in this Facebook age where we need instant feedback immediately. You got it, my friend. Well done.
Can I add a couple? Because Rick Bergeron, my good friend down there in Louisiana, added a couple.
I wouldn't ruin it. Don't ruin it. Because his weren't as funny as yours.
All right. Sorry, Rick. Yours weren't as funny as mine. Screw you.
No, you can read whatever you want. But I knew you were going to read his, and you're just going to pile on when you probably should just leave it alone. But
yes,
go ahead.
Let's go on.
Whatever.
Well, there's one thing that came out of that list. Thank you, Jamie. There's one thing that came out of that list that got commented on a lot, which was really weird, was people, especially horsewomen, picked up. Remember in the one I said lighted hoof pick?
Hoof pick.
There were so many women that pointed out, where do you get one of those? Do they have those? Well, in fact, they do. And we're going to give one away this week for a really bad ad. It's called the Illuminated Hoof Pick. And it is available from MJ Equine Tools, and they have these. They are, in fact, a thing. They're a very nice hoof pick. They actually have an LED light in them. So you on the side, there's a little switch. You turn the light on. So as you're cleaning out the hoof, you can see inside, and they really do work. And they're the ones with the little brushy on it. And, Jennifer, am I wrong in remembering that you can change the little brushes?
That is correct. The brushes can be removed and replaced when they get all crumpled down.
Yeah, because that's something that you don't see too often. And the other thing about this hoof pick was that the little metal part that comes out that you clean the hoof with is actually really strong. It doesn't bend like some of the others. So it takes two replaceable AA batteries. That's what powers the thing, and it really does work. We've used ours, and you're in a dark area or your barn's a little dark, you can actually see inside there. It's great when you have thrush or something going on as well.
It is a fantastic idea, because how many times do you have to kind of get down there in the crevice between, you know, you're trying to kind of clean out the whole frog area, and you don't know if that's hoof wall or do you have a little rock? This is a great idea to have a lighted hoof pick. I love it.
Now, Jennifer, did you just say that we're giving away two?
A pair, one for you and one for your best friend.
Oh, wow. So that's great. So if you have a really bad ad that you want to send it in now to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. We'll do them tomorrow, but you only have today to get them in. So get them in today, and you could win two of these Illuminated Hoof Books. That's like a $40 value, and we really appreciate them. They picked up on it. I guess they heard about this, and they wanted to make sure that people did know that this actually does exist. And they're really nice ladies that run this company. It's kind of a garage operation, so we're happy to support them. Get your ads in, Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Well, a bit of other bad news that we had that I'm sorry to report. Sammy Joe, who was on our show last Monday, talked about her baby zebra that she got, and then I reported later in the week to you that her zebra was sick and ended up at the hospital. It was in the hospital for 5 days and unfortunately died over the weekend. So our best out to Sammy Joe. It doesn't matter whether it's a baby horse or a baby zebra, you know, they get sick. But she had a tough tough 5 days with the little guy.
Oh, and they did everything that they could possibly do. I was following her on Facebook, and she was kind of updating every detail of what they were doing to the baby and trying so hard to save it. And I know she must just be crushed because just the effort was just an epic ordeal for her. And you know, good for her for giving it a try. And I'm so sorry that he lost his battle.
Well, our best to Sammy Joe. And, you know, we've had a couple negative things this morning. Let's go to a positive one. You're going to have fun with this. You're going to love this, I think. Did you see the video going around yesterday called "I'm Farming and I Grow It"?
Is this to the tune of "I'm Sexy and I Know It"?
No, it actually is not. It's actually a rap song that these three young farmers, I mean, they're probably in their late teens, early 20s. It's a great video, by the way. And they're employees of the Peterson Farm and Livestock Company. And their goal is to promote agriculture and to remind people where their food comes from. You know, that food comes from a farm, and there's a lot of guys like them out there that are working the fields and feeding the cows and doing all that stuff. And they started a Facebook page, and it's called Peterson Farm Bro. And one of the first things they wanted to do was this video. Well, I got to tell you, the video is excellent. Jennifer will post it. We have a link there in the show notes, Jennifer. She'll post the video, but I took the audio off of it. And they're saying, share it with friends. Tell everybody. We don't care. We want to get the word out that we're out here doing the job for you. So here we go. This is this is the soundtrack off their rap video. Takes a second to start. The first scenes are them out in the fields. Here we go.
This is the tune. I'm Sexy and I Know It. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
When I'm up at 7, sunrise gives me a glimpse of heaven. I get right to work. A farmer's life can be a little berserk, yeah. This is how I roll. I feed the cattle till their stomachs are full. Treat them right, that's my belief. What's for dinner? I say beef.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side. When I step to the bunk,
yeah,
this is what I see. All the hungry cattle are staring at me. I got passion for my plants, and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it,
show it, show
I'm
it.
I'm farming and I grow it.
Know it.
I'm farming and I grow it.
When I'm in my tractor, I got more power than an arc reactor. And when I'm in the field, I try to raise crops to maximum yield. This is how I roll. Without me, the world be out of control. The hours I work, there is no equal. Gotta feed the mouths of hungry people.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
I work out.
To the bunk.
Yeah.
This is what I see. All the hungry cattle are staring at me. I got passion for my plants, and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it.
I'm farming and I grow it. I'm farming and I grow it.
Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah, yeah.
Cattle need water, man. Crops need water, man.
We all need water, man. I'm farming and I grow it.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work outside.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
We work outside.
Wow,
I'm farming and I grow it.
Glenn, you gotta watch the actual video for that song, because I haven't seen the farming video, but I'm going to guess that it is considerably different than the actual video that was put out, which is a lot of close-up shots of men.
Well, and this is some close-up shots of these three farm kids, but mostly it involves tractors and cows and things like that.
Yeah, not the close-up shots that I'm talking about. You need to watch the actual video. And Passion for My Plants, and the real song is Passion in My Pants. And when he says, water, 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 that was funny because the actual song goes, wiggle, 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 yeah. So they took what is actually quite a dirty song and actually like try to educate people. I worked outside. I love it. That was great.
Yeah, not too bad for three white guys doing that.
No.
One. That was pretty
fantastic.
Good. That was pretty good. All right. Now, also, I got something else for you you're going to like, I think, here today. See, I'm trying to do as much work for you today as possible because I know you're tired and exhausted from your wild night with the Chippendales. So.
Listen, I don't have a stripper cold, okay? I did not hang with the strippers and get their germs, okay?
Okay. All right. Just check it. Well, I found on stylist.com. Don't ask me how I found this. I have no idea.
It's called
stylist.com. And they did how to get rid of mosquitoes, testing 11 homemade remedies. Everybody you talk to, because mosquitoes obviously are a big problem for horse people. And right now in Florida, after all the rain, the mosquitoes have come out. But doesn't everybody like have a home remedy for mosquitoes? You know, oh, you should do this. That gets rid of mosquitoes. You should eat a lot of garlic. That gets rid of mosquitoes. You know, just all these home remedies. There are certain topics that bring out the home remedies in people. And what they wanted to do was test the 11 top home remedies for getting rid of mosquitoes. So you like this? Here they go. And they didn't take it real seriously. So I never heard this one. You probably did because you drink a lot of it. Yeah.
Is this like a Mythbusters, but like done kind of, you know, ghetto style Mythbusters?
Yes.
It's like
ghetto style.
It's drunk redneck.
A good way to put it, actually.
Okay.
So the first one is beer traps. Apparently, there's this myth that beer, if you drink enough beer, that the mosquitoes won't bother you. I think if you drink enough beer, you just don't remember the mosquitoes bothering you is what it really was.
They don't bother you because you don't notice them because you've been drinking.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is redneck Mythbusters is what this is.
This is right. So we thought that they'd place cups of beer around outside all night, and they would see if they became for mosquitoes. And they said at a glance, the buggy victims proved this to be true. There's a catch, though. Mosquitoes will seek you out if you're drinking the stuff. Bottom line, this somewhat works, but also if you're imbibing, expect to be bitten. In other words, it didn't work real great. They said that some did land in the beer they had out all night, but for the most part, it was a flop. So beer is not necessarily the best way to get rid of mosquitoes. Now, I had heard this one before, is you wear white. Had you ever heard of that one, wear white and your mosquitoes won't bother you?
Well, I have heard that mosquitoes are more attracted to the darker colored horses. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Well, they said the thinking here is that colors somewhat or somehow make you more attractive to mosquitoes, but this is just a bunch of wishful thinking. The bugs will still bite no matter how much white you wear. Bottom line, it does not work. Yeah, so that one they said does not work. Eat garlic.
Does that make sense? That makes sense because I am very white and I get attacked by mosquitoes all the time. It doesn't matter what I wear. I'm just really white and I get mosquito bites. So that would not make any sense to me. Okay, go on with the garlic thing because this is something that it seems like horse people love to cram garlic down their horse's mouth. And you know the people that buy the garlic supplements because if you go near them or their horse or their tack room, you can smell it coming out from like a mile away. Does it work?
What's your guess?
I don't think it worked with the flies, so I'm not going to go with the mosquitoes. It just gives the mosquitoes bad breath.
garlic is used in many mosquito repellents used in landscaping. So why wouldn't it work for us? After eating a garlicky meal, we waited. The mosquitoes didn't bother us at all. But really, is this practical? Bottom line, we think it works. But you'll have to eat several cloves of garlic a day.
Oh. All right. So nobody will come near you. So that sounds
exactly.
like fun.
Not just the mosquitoes. Nobody. I would say if you're in the dating pool and you're not already married, not a good one to try. Find a different alternative.
Chad and I have a rule. There are certain things that we both have to, we call it make the commitment. And like say you both go out to dinner and they put purple onions on your sandwich. Well, he's like, are you going to eat your purple onions? Like, are you making the commitment? Because if you make the commitment, I'll make the commitment, but we can't go in one at a time. So if there's big cloves of garlic, we both have to commit, or we don't eat it. And sometimes I'll be like, let's do it. And it's always a bad idea. Always.
I never heard the made a commitment before. That's pretty good. I like that.
You have to make the commitment together, my friend. You're a team.
Next one I had never heard of, and I think it's kind of silly, a vacuum cleaner. They said, this involves exactly what you think it does, vacuuming up any mosquito you see in the air. It's more like a reflex test than a viable means of pest control. The bottom line, not surprisingly, is it does not work. Yeah, I've never heard of that one before. This one I had heard of is Listerine mouthwash.
Okay.
When diluted with water and spritzed on the skin, this promised to rid us of mosquitoes for a full night. Sadly, it just made us smell minty fresh. We were still being bitten by the end of the night. Bottom line, it does not work. So, not good on the Listerine.
How much does that suck to be the tester for this? Hey, dude, spray yourself with this mint stuff. Go sit outside, see what happens.
Yeah,
now, would plain Listerine work better, or did they only try the minty kind?
To try the natural citrus Listerine, which I didn't even know they had, to be honest.
They must use the Listerine after the garlic. They're trying to cleanse.
The next one was, apparently, and I didn't know this, and I'm a geek and I didn't know this, apparently there's an anti-mosquito application for the iPhone. It's called
no.
a Sonic. It's called a Sonic repellent. It's called anti-mosquito app. This sonic repellent promises to rid your life of mosquitoes with a touch of a button. Easy, right? So we were disappointed when all it did was drain our iPhone's battery in about a quarter or about a half the time, it says. Bottom line, it does not work. So apparently don't buy the sonic mosquito repellent on your iPhone.
Okay. Thank God they told me that. I would have bought.
Chives are one I had not heard of. You know what chives are. You cut them up and put them on salads and stuff. Like garlic, mosquitoes dislike chives. We simply placed a few snippets in a centerpiece and hoped for results. Though we did experience less bites, we were still bitten. Bottom line, might work, but probably should be applied to the skin in order to see results. So if you want to rub some chive all over you, you'll probably have the same result as the garlic, and you also still will not get a date. So either way, you're not going out.
You know, the problem is, with all of this, it's making me want to saute something. Like onions and garlic and butter or olive oil. Oh, delicious. It makes your house smell great. I'm hungry now.
An omelet for breakfast.
Man.
Fabric softener sheets. I have heard this one. And they said what you're supposed to do is rub them on your skin. That's what you're supposed to do. They said rubbed onto the skin. This method did leave us mosquito bite free for the entire evening. But it did irritate the skin of several of our testers. So use with caution. Bottom line, it works if you can stand it. So there you go. Little.
Huh.
As long as you don't break out in hives, you're okay.
Exactly. I mean, you had to test a small spot on your horse before you just go rub the whole thing. You know, like there's some horses like Jet, my horse, where if I give him a new supplement, he breaks out in hives. So just be careful with that one, but it's almost worth trying.
Okay, here we go. Dish soap. A few squirts of dish soap left in a saucer did a nice job of keeping mosquitoes occupied and away from us. The results were comparable to a citronella candle. Bottom line, they said dish soap works. So,
And like a little petri dish or something.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Soda. Did you heard of soda? I never heard of soda. So anyway, particularly Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew will attract anything, which was suggested by a reader with a dash of dish soap. While the traps did attract mosquitoes, this might have also been because of the dish soap. Bottom line, this works, but probably not because of the soda. So I don't think they did it. Probably a really good test on that one. A bubble machine. You know, those things you blow bubbles with?
Yeah.
Silly, but it did prove effective. Again, soap might be the factor here. Bottom line, it works. I don't think they mean blow bubbles all night. I think they mean just leave the soap out. And that was the 11. There you go. That was mine.
You know, this reminds me of the whole idea about how to get gophers. And I would like you to know that I got two more this past weekend, and I'm up to 57. And nobody in this neighborhood has come close to the number of gophers that I have caught. However, on a regular basis, when I am out there setting my gopher traps, some idiot pulls up and tries to tell me how to do it. And they're like, it's the same. I liken it to the dish soap and the Listerine. Oh, here's what you got to do. Let me tell you, you got to go and you got to take some juicy fruit gum and you got to stick it down in the hole, or you got to and they tell you these ridiculous scenarios. Silly, somebody told me to put silly putty in the hole. I'm like, silly putty? Really? Okay. And then I say, how many gophers have you killed? And there's some tough guy like, I got four. And I'm like, I have 57. Shut up.
What are you using
but
for bait?
There's no bait. It screws with the gopher's mind, the traps that I use, okay? It's awesome. If anybody is having gopher problems and you need to find out how to work it, I'm not going to explain it here because we've been over the gopher thing. Just email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and I will help you with your gopher problem. It's amazing. And you know what? I should actually sell the idea.
You should. You have. You've made a mission out of it, that's for sure. You know that commitment we were talking about earlier? You're definitely committed. You were committed.
We are.
They almost, matter of fact, your husband almost committed you over it.
He did. You know, no, he did not, because he was in it with me. He was up to his elbows in it, too. Do you know how many of the 57 gophers that I have caught and captured in these traps? And they're very, like, as far as traps go, it's really quick and it's not gruesome or anything. Do you know how many traps I've emptied out?
No.
Try a big fat zero. Honey! Honey, I got another gopher. It's right out there. Go get it, okay? Tell me when you're done. So he's to the point where he's like, let me see the dead body. Even like sometimes when Jose's here, I'm like, Jose, could you empty the traps out? And then Chad comes home. He's like, why didn't I get to do it? So they fight over it.
See, I thought you had to put bait in the traps. I didn't realize it was just a way to trick them.
He messes with their brain because they're blind. And so they feel this breeze coming through this tiny little hole that you leave, and then they go through the trap to plug up the hole, and bam! Listen, I'm going to get complaint emails. I always do when I talk about the gophers, because people send me messages going, why don't you trap them and relocate them? You know what? If you can tell me where to drop 55, 57 gophers in a pasture, you could point me in that direction. I'd be more than happy to do it. However, I can't, so don't send me complaint letters, okay? I'm a vegetarian. I'll complain about what you eat.
We have more tunnels that are dug. There's more subterranean animals here in Florida than we had in Kentucky. And there's all these tunnels all over the yard all the time, but you never see the holes. They don't ever come out. And we can't quite figure out what the critter is that's down there. And we never, you know, don't fuss with them too much because they just smush back down at sand. So it just smushes back down. But we didn't have the problem you had with the holes, you know, with the physical holes. It's just the tunnels, and they never seem to come up anywhere. So I don't know what that is. But
that's why the whole Chad sitting out on the roof with a gun thing wasn't going to work, because you actually never see him. He's like, I'm going to shoot him. I'm like, really? What are you going to shoot? Because have you ever seen one? No.
True.
Okay, then.
Constant battle we have here at the farm. Constant battle. Well, let's one of the other battles we have is putting up good fencing. Well, the company that we recommend is Field Guardian. If you're looking at putting up some electric tape fencing, oh, by the way, I got to tell you, Jamie, that Jennifer tested it again yesterday. She tested the electric tape fencing again yesterday. She said it works quite well. And I, when she was telling me about it, her hair was still standing up on the on her arm. an accidental testing. But yes, if you want to put up some terrific fencing, you want it to last, you want it to be quality, you want to only have to do it once, then go to fieldguardian.com. They have everything that you're going to need to run your poly tape fence, or they also have poly rope as well. They have the chargers, they have the wire, they have the insulators. The only thing that you won't get from them is the posts. You can find those locally. But I'll tell you what, we've been more than happy with ours. We've had branches fall on the fence. Beaker has tested it several times. It really does work. And you know how we can tell where he's tested the fence to make sure it's still on, Jamie, is we go out the next morning. And, you know, it's sand out here. We live in Florida. So there are huge divots in the sand by the fence where Beaker has tested it and turned and, you know, took off at a dead gallop. That's how we can tell.
How many times has he tested it, okay? They're not supposed to test it, like, more than once.
Well, he has this habit of falling asleep right next to the fence. He gets, like, right an inch from the fence and falls asleep. And then, you know, I think during the night, his little butt just scooches over, or his little nose just scooches over, touches the fence, and off he goes. So, yeah, he tests it
bless
on a regular
his heart.
Basis.
That's what we say in the South. Bless his little heart.
His heart, I know. You think he'd learn. But so anyway, if you want the best fence out there at a terrific price, they'll design the whole thing for you. They'll send exactly what you need. You need to go to fieldguardian.com. And the other cool thing about this, it's made in the United States. And that's one of the biggest things about this company is it's all made in the United States. Fieldguardian.com. Well, now coming up, we have a lot of guests. Holy cow, Jennifer. So we have our Pony Club report. Once a month, we get the Pony Club on to talk about what's coming up. And one of the big things coming up now is the Eastern Championships are coming up, and they're usually held in Virginia, if I remember right, maybe at the Kentucky Horse Park this year. We'll find out. Let's talk to Martha first. We have a bunch of Pony Clubbers on who are going to be attending. Congratulations to you all, by the way. But let's say hi to Martha. Good morning, Martha.
Hi.
So where are the championships this year?
In Virginia.
In Virginia, that's what I thought. Okay. And that's at the horse park there. That's a beautiful horse park. Have you been there yet?
Yeah.
So are you excited to be going this year? Are you excited to be going again this year?
Oh, I haven't been to the Virginia Horse Park, sorry, no. But I am very excited to be there.
Terrific. And what level are you, Pony Club?
I'm a C2HN.
Okay, cool. So what will you be doing at the championships this year?
I'll be competing at the eventing championships.
Oh, so you're an eventer then. Cool.
Yeah.
That's a neat park for eventing. Cross-country course is really nice. You'll like it for sure. And we have Lizzie on here. Good morning, Lizzie.
Hello.
Is Lizzie there? Hi, Lizzie.
Yes. Hi.
Hey, so are you excited to be going?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Now, is this your first time?
Yeah, this is my first time doing championships.
Now, you sound, I'm just guessing. I'm going to try and guess. Are you a games Pony Clubber? Are you there for games?
No.
Okay. What are you going for?
I'm going for eventing.
Are you? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And what level will you be eventing at? If we were to take a look at a regular event, a regular horse show, what level would you be at?
Beginner novice.
Okay, cool. And tell us about your pony.
Well, his name is Rodney. And he's just like a little paint pony.
Cool. And how long have you had him?
I've had him for 3 years.
Very good. Well, good luck. I want to say hi to everybody here. Hope, are you there?
Okay. Here you go.
Okay. I didn't realize
Hello?
We were switching phones. Hey, Hope.
Hi.
Good morning. So I'm so excited for you to get to go to Eastern Championships. This is a really big deal when you're in Pony Club, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you work all year really trying to qualify for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, are you an eventer also?
Yes, I am.
Geez, Jamie, we have a whole pile of eventers here today. Now, tell us a little bit about your horse.
Well, her name is Galaxy, and she's a one-blood cross, and I've had her for about 3 years, and she's 13. So we've been doing novice, but we qualified in beginner novice.
Okay, cool. And are you going to win?
I don't know. Depends on how she's feeling.
You're supposed to say, okay, Hope, you're supposed to say, yes, I'm going to win. Power of positive thinking. Now let's try it. Say, yes, I'm going to win.
Yes, I'm going to win.
Okay, good, good. And Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Mary, so what are you going for?
I'm their stable manager.
Oh, are you? So,
yes.
You know, people that haven't been in Pony Club don't realize how important a job that is. The stable manager really keeps everybody else straight. Tell us a little bit about what the stable manager does, what your duties will be.
Well, I don't have a horse, so I'm basically the fourth man on the team, and I'm basically like their mom. I send them off when they're supposed to be off. I make sure they're on time, help clean the stalls. I sweep everywhere. I try to keep things neat and organized. I'm just on my feet 24/7 just running around.
And that is true. The stable manager does. And if I remember right, there's even an award for the best stable manager, isn't there, at a show like that?
I don't know. I've been in Pony Club a long time, and I haven't heard of that. But there might be. I'm not too sure.
If there was, I'd give you one. I'd give it to you.
Oh, thank you.
Now, there's an Eastern Championships and a Western Championships, right?
Say that again?
There's an Eastern Championships and a Western Championships. The people from out Jamie's Way in Arizona and California have their own championships.
Yes. I'm originally from California, so I actually competed in the Western Championships. So this will be my first Eastern.
And where do they usually hold the Western one?
Well, someone was saying they hold it, like, it might be in Washington this year, but when I competed in 2003, we were in Sacramento, California.
Okay, cool. So what's your favorite part of, I'll ask this to Martha, what's your favorite part of eventing? What do you like the best?
It would probably be the cross country, because you feel so free and we just get to go fast.
All right, is there anybody on the line that would say dressage is their favorite part? Cricket. Can you play the cricket sound effect there, Jennifer? Jamie, it's not your favorite part either, is it, Jamie? So now you guys, you like cross country, obviously, because you get to go fast and have fun. What do you think, Lizzie, is the toughest part for you? What's the part that's the hardest for you?
For me, probably dressage is the hardest.
Why? Why do you think so?
Well, because my horse, he kind of doesn't like it as much as he likes jumping. So it kind of makes it harder and more boring for me to do dressage.
Do you have a trouble memorizing the tests at all? That used to be Jennifer's toughest part, is memorizing the tests.
I don't really have trouble memorizing the tests that much.
I know they used to. When we used to have the Pony Clubbers over to our farm, they all used to go out in the parking lot, and they all used to practice their tests by trotting around themselves, you know, just by walking it and then trotting and then cantering around the parking lot.
I still do that.
Do you?
Yeah, definitely in the barn aisle.
I know, Jamie, you were gone there for a minute. They all said that cross country was their favorite, and nobody volunteered as dressage was their favorite. Can you believe that?
Shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
Jamie's an eventer too, guys. Now, do you guys, you're competing as a team as well, so it's a team competition as well as an individual competition? Can anybody answer that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it does count as a team. And give the name of your team. Give a shout-out. Lizzie, give a shout-out. What's the name of your team?
What's the name of our team?
We're just Keeneland Pony Club.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's the Keeneland Pony Club. That's what I meant. I was trying to get the name of the pony club out there. So it's Keeneland Pony Club, so you're out of Kentucky?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, I wish you guys all the best. Good luck with the competition this year. Have fun, and we'll be rooting for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
There's a whole the championships are a big deal. You work all year to get to the championships, and it's very exciting. And, you know, one of the most exciting about being at a Pony Club championships like that is your parents are only allowed to talk to you at certain times of the day, so you get to go parent-free for most of the day. That has to be one of the most exciting things for a teenager at a championships.
Oh, without a doubt. But the preparation leading up to it is so, I mean, so, they have to be so thorough. And then to be able to, you know, that's what's great about the Pony Club is it teaches these kids to have, you know, to be self-sufficient at these competitions. And the moms have to just kind of back up. And I do love that part of it. Yeah, great job with the interview.
Thank you. And good luck to all of them who will be, but it's also very loud at Pony Club Championships. I just wanted to add that because there's thousands of teenage girls. So it gets very loud at times at the championships, but they're all having a blast. And that's coming up. I think it's coming up July 25th through the 29th. And Jennifer, you had written here Kentucky Horse Park, but in fact it is the Virginia Horse Park there in Lexington, Virginia. And Jennifer should know that because she's been a few times there with our trailer at that particular show. You were there a couple times at that park. So
you
should know that one pretty. Yeah, she had a blast. She always loved to do it. Let's take a listen to the girl who's going to become famous. She's a barrel racer. She's 18 years old, just signed with Sony Records. Her name is Chancey Neal. You're going to be hearing a lot more of her. And this is Girl with a Guitar.
All right. That was Chancey Neal, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Sorry about the dial tone there. I don't know what that was. It was weird. Chancey was just
I don't know either.
I guess. It's a phone. Well, you're today, of course, is brought to you by Field Guard Fencing, Field Guardian Fencing, excuse me, and the illuminated hoof picks that we're giving away on Friday for really bad ads. So don't forget to get in your really bad ads.
And it's the Horse Radio Network show highlight for today is the Eventing Radio Show. Came out yesterday. It was another good one by Samantha and John Kyle, who we had on our
show. Have had more guests on the show. I mean, my gosh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, there was a ton of guests, and it was a great show, actually. It was a lot of fun. She had one of the big guests on was she had Hugh Thomas on, who was the director of badminton and also was the one we talked about last week that resigned as a member of the technical committee for the London Olympics because they weren't opening up the jogs and the trot-ups to general public. And he explains that and why he resigned because of that. He feels that they should be open. It's part of the tradition of eventing. And he explains why that all happened in that show. Plus, it was just a great show. Those two work so well together. I'm so happy to have them as hosts on that show. They did a great job. So you can hear that at eventingradio.com. We're going to be up here in a minute with Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse. We'll be with us with the Chronicle Report. But I wanted to follow up on a story that we did a while back, Jamie. It was about this horse, and it was a terrible situation, and it was in England, I believe. And what it was is this horse that they thought had that they found one day who had severe burns on its face, and they thought it was somebody had burned this horse, and it was it was bad. The horse had a white face and it was covered in severe burns and everything. Well, the veterinarians have come out now with a report of how they think this happened, and it was not malicious, and it was not a acid or a corrosive, which is what they thought it was. Somebody had, flung acid at this horse. They think it was that the horse ate a certain kind of clover that's called alsike, A-L-S-I-K-E, alsike, something like that. And it causes a liver toxicity that leaves the white portions of skin photosensitive. So then when the horse went out in the sunshine, it got a severe, severe burn. And that's what they think actually caused this. They don't think it was malicious at all. It was a freak of nature here with this horse eating this certain kind of clover, which leads you to ask, how do you tell if this kind of clover is in your yard? But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he just had a severe reaction to it because he's a bald face paint. And, they can be very sensitive. Those white areas on their faces are so sensitive to sun anyway that you throw a little bit of, put the liver off just a little bit and you're going to have a problem. So I don't know how you would be able to find that or if your horse would even react to that type of clover.
Well, I'm looking it up now, and they actually use it for pasture. Apparently, it is in the moister areas of Montana. I don't know how you say it. This kind of clover yields well and generally will thrive, and they use it for pasture and for making hay. So it can't be bad to all horses, you would think.
Yeah. Guess he would just – yeah, I mean, it looks just like he had a reaction. I would never have thought somebody threw acid on my horse. That's pretty tough.
Well, you know what, though? They're cutting tails off everywhere, so who knows?
That's true. Hey, I got some news for you. A couple really kind of fun stories because I'm on a positive kick. Hanson, the gray ghost, the absolutely stunningly beautiful gray three-year-old that was last year's two-year-old champion, is going to be back finally in a race. They've actually selected one for Hanson. He's going to run in the Prairie Meadows Iowa Derby. It's a grade three, $250,000 race. And, I'm still going to stick with my guns. I think he's more of a sprinter, in my opinion. They just never listen to me. They don't call me back, whatever. The management of Hanson should be in my hands. But I think he's still a sprinter. This is a mile and an eighth. Mile and a 16th, I think, is this race. and it's between this one or another race he was going to be in that is 7 furlongs. I would pick 7 furlong ones, but whatever. He has not run since he finished about mid-pack in the Kentucky Derby. So finally going to see Hansen again, and that's going to be June 30th, and just outside Des Moines, Iowa, and it's going to go off at 9:39 Central Daylight Time. I don't know what time that is for you or me, but it's the Central Time.
All right, cool. Hansen on returning. God, I'm looking at the picture you posted here. That horse is so darn white. It almost looks like it's covered in powder.
Isn't he pretty? He is so pretty. The other news story I have, fun story, is there's the TV show House, where there's a doctor that's kind of disgruntled and he walks around the hospital, and it's been a huge show. Well, they're coming out now with the veterinary version of House. And
really?
It's so exciting. NBC has ordered, I think, 13 episodes of a sitcom where the central character is a vet. Now, they also, they actually did some testing. They filmed the pilot, and what tested better than any character on the show, human, was the capuchin monkey that is also used as they call him doctor, whatever. He's got a doctor name. Jen, I actually posted the link to this story on the show notes. If you want to post that on Facebook, because there's a preview for the show. And at first I was like, oh, God, this is going to be bad. You know, this is really lame. I mean, it's a huge hospital. There's animals all over the place. This is going to be bad. And actually, it was kind of entertaining, the preview was. So if you want to post that, you can watch the preview for the show. It's, again, a veterinary sitcom on NBC called Animal Practice.
Now, is this are these actual veterinarians or are these actors?
Other actors. Actors.
All right, so
and
it's a sitcom rather than a reality show.
Correct. Okay. And that'll just make it entertaining enough. And I think he uses the line, like, he's like, I save animals and I pick up chicks. Like, what's not to like? And so I thought you would like that. And he's kind of a womanizing pig. Like, he tells his girl in the previews, he's talking to her, and he's like, and by the way, I get off at 6. She's like, okay. So it is funny. It is definitely it made me laugh a couple times during the preview. So he plays a house-like vet, and he treats the animals at this clinic. And I guess at some point, the owner of the clinic dies, and the daughter comes in, and she's going to run it, and enter sexual tension, and she's going to fire him. But the capuchin monkey does something, and then he does some miracle surgery. And anyway, so 13 episodes. We'll see how long it lasts, but I think it's going to be good. I'll watch it.
I love this. The clinic is packed with cats, pythons, turtles, chickens, an iguana, a penguin, a pig, and a Bengal tiger.
Yeah, it's a little silly. I mean, obviously, because, well, we're horse people. We understand that there's a little more specializing than goes on between a python and a dog and a cat, and like he's doing surgery on a Yorkie, and then he's working on a Bengal tiger. So we know a little bit better, but it should at least be entertaining. Why not?
Hey, it sounds like an opportunity for our friend Dominique to get some of her animals in work. That's what
it
sounds like.
Exactly. Bring on the zebras.
Well, that's terrific. Hey, you know what we started watching, and a few of our listeners mentioned this to me. And we've also had a lot of friends that said we'd like this because we like history. They said, you got to watch Downton Abbey on PBS. And it's been out for 3 years now, and we kept putting it off, and we just never watched it. And I know some of our listeners watch it. It's called Downton Abbey, D-O-D, like Downton, D-O-W-N-T-O-N, Downton Abbey. And it's on PBS. It's made in, you know, it's out of Britain. And it is a good show. We actually had a Downton Abbey marathon last week. We started watching and getting it caught up on season one. We went to Netflix, and we got caught up on season one. We actually watched 7 episodes in one day. It was raining. There was nothing to do here, so we just watched 7 episodes in one day. And there are a lot of horses in it. There's a lot of horses. There's one white horse in particular that keeps showing up, pulling different vehicles, being ridden. He seems to be the go-to horse for the show. Doing different things. He's a character actor, apparently. And
is
then there's this
all the time.
I didn't hear any fake winnings. Jennifer, did you? No, Jennifer, you're on mute.
Terrible.
Yeah. What? Sorry, Jennifer, you were on mute. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Are you there?
The fox hunting. I'm here. Are you? Yep. Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah,
the fox hunting.
Where's your Winnies?
Oh, the fake Winnies? Minimal, actually. Minimal.
Now, what'd you say about the fox hunting scene? There was a fox hunting scene, and there were probably 40 riders, I would say.
Yeah. And it was really pretty awful. The hounds were cruising along with their noses straight up in the air behind the huntsmen.
Yeah, the huntsmen were first. It was like they were leading the hounds.
Come on, puppies. Thinking, wow. Let's go. Come on. This way. We're going to find the fox.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? You would, like, I might not have noticed that because I'm not a big fox hunter. So, you know, that's the problem with us horse people. My God, we're picky.
But otherwise, it's a good, and my new, let me look this up right now because I got to tell you, this is for the guys out there. I have a new favorite actress, and she's in Downton Abbey, and she is the youngest daughter, and her name is, looking at this, Jessica Brown Findlay, F-I-N-D-L-A-Y, Jessica Brown Findlay. She is my new favorite actress in the whole world. I love her. She's good looking and a good actress.
This is like a Pride and Prejudice kind of thing, and there's nothing I like more than some good old-fashioned Jane Austen. So is this a Jane Austen-inspired series?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know who Jane Austen is?
No, I don't actually, because I'm not a big Jane Austen fan. So no. No, but it's good. I actually kind of think you would like this. The cast is very good, and they follow the owner of this big castle, and Jennifer says it's definitely Jane Austen-ish. So there you go. Jennifer knows. But it's this castle. It's this abbey, and they follow the family. And what's really cool about this is they follow all the servants and the staff, and they also follow them. And the show is mainly about the servants and the staff and 25% about the family. So it's really kind of cool, and it's set back before World War One. So it is kind of neat to see the history of it. I liked it. I think you'd like it. I think you should give it a try.
All right. Thumbs up for Downton Abbey. Definitely
yep,
have to check that out because I love period pieces like that, and Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice and Keira Knightley and Sense and Sensibility. Oh, so wonderful. I watched them on repeat. So definitely worth checking out. I'll have to do it. Do you have the DVDs? Can you mail them to me?
No, we actually watched it on Netflix. They have the first year on Netflix, but not the second year yet. We're waiting for that to come out. They're going into the third year right now. They'll start in the fall. But this has a huge following in the United States. It was PBS's highest-rated program ever here in the United States. So it's very popular. Did you see Nora Ephron died?
Yes. How sad is that?
Now, that her I do know because we have seen most of, mostly chick flicks, but we've actually seen them. Can you believe that?
You mean you've actually seen Nora Ephron movies?
Yeah, you've got mail. Julie and Julia was one of our favorite movies ever. We saw that twice about Julia Child. I love that movie.
Oh, there's just nothing better than Sleepless in Seattle. It's one of my favorite movies ever. Oh.
When Harry Met Sally, let's not forget that one. That was good.
Exactly. Yeah, she loved to use Meg Ryan, and I loved Meg Ryan. So, yeah, definitely sad to see her go because, you know, the world just needs more better chick flicks, you know, and she was the pioneer of the fantastic chick flick movies. So I'm sad. That's very sad.
Was it Seattle or When Harry Met Sally and the infamous, now has become very infamous, scene in the restaurant?
When Harry Met Sally.
I thought so. Okay. I thought it was when Harry Met Sally.
I'll have what she's having. Thank you.
Yeah. Thought for a minute there, I thought you were going to imitate her. I was going to.
Oh, God, no. Nobody can do that well.
Fake.
All right. Well, Lisa is ready. We're going to get to our next guest. And, of course, we've got Lisa from The Chronicle of the Horse. And they're celebrating their 75th anniversary, and they've been rolling through it one decade at a time. And now it's time, really, you know, when I think of the 90s, I think of being in high school. I think of Nirvana. I think of, like, Nirvana made me rebel. I was a hair band, Nelson, Bon Jovi, Love and Chick, up until Nirvana came out. And so Nirvana was the 90s. Pearl Jam and Nirvana changed my life. How did the 90s affect the horse world? Welcome to the show, Lisa Slade.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, fantastic. How are things? I don't even know where you are anymore. Are you in Tennessee?
Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, how's that going? You moved in right with the boyfriend, is that correct?
Yeah, it's been good so far.
So you're living in Sten currently. How are your parents feeling about this?
they're okay with it, I think. They know, you know, at this point I'm not super young anymore, so they don't have a lot of pull over me in that way, sadly.
Oh my God, it makes her sound like she's 40.
Well, she's not 17, though, so that's the difference.
Yeah.
You hit 18, you pretty much, unless you need money, you have to go out on your own. But if you need the money, then you still have to do what they say. But you've got a job, so you're good. So you moved in with a boyfriend. Everything is roses and daisies and rainbows in Tennessee.
Course.
So it's going well.
It's also 108 degrees this week, which is less than ideal, but...
Oh, you poor thing.
I know you deal with that constantly. But you don't have the humidity. It's humid here.
Do you like shade and clouds? And do you like the water being sucked out of your eyeballs because there's no moisture in the air and so your skin... I have cracked heels. I am in my 30s and I've cracked heels, Lisa. That's not okay with me. My fingernails are falling apart because there's no water in the air. How dare you say it's a dry heat?
Lisa, she has been positive all week. She's been on this positive all week.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up a touchy
subject. Over the edge.
Okay, cleanse. Happy thoughts. Okay. the dry heat thing. Oh, my God. Dry heat is just
making
it worse.
I know. I'm sure it drives you crazy, but... humidity is such a pain. Like, you walk outside and you just feel like you're, like, swimming through the air. Like, you can't even breathe.
Gotta
say,
Lisa, I looked at the weather today in Lexington, where we used to live till 3 months ago. And I looked up there and I saw on on Friday, it's supposed to be 106. And I went, I am so glad we moved to cool Florida where it's only 90.
Are you guys underwater?
No, one of the nice things about Florida, too, is that with all the sand, the water just goes away, and then there's no mud.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't have all that problem. So
sounds
glad we live in Florida.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Living
he's
you guys.
He's sunshine and daisies and roses and rainbows right now, too, because he just moved there. Don't worry. When the mosquitoes kick in from all of this rain and he's unable to go outside and Beaker is rolling around in the sand continuously because he's getting eaten up by mosquitoes, and then when he gets up and he's got June bugs all over him. All right, I lost him. Lisa, what did you do to me? I've been so positive all this long.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring out this crazy weather conversation.
Lots of garlic, Jamie. We know the secret now. Lots of garlic. Beaker's going to be eating cloves of garlic. He'll be fine.
And dish soap. Mm. Cover him in dish soap. He'll be fine. All right. So, Lisa, let's head on over to the 1990s, shall we? What was so special about the 90s in the horse world?
Well, there were lots of things that were special. I love it. I love this story because I remember these things. One of the things that was happening in the 90s, do you guys remember all those crazy horse murders, the ones that were done for insurance money?
That seems to have been going on for a long time, but I mean, when was Aladar killed? Was that in the 90s? Yeah, I think it was.
I don't remember, but this is when Charisma was killed. There were several horses that were either electrocuted or... One of them, like, had his leg broken with a crowbar, and just crazy. And this is when Barney Ward, who is the father of McLean Ward, was he spent some time in prison. He didn't actually kill any of the horses, allegedly, but he, you know, was sort of the middleman for the killings. I think he arranged them. And Barney is still barred from ever setting foot on a a USCF show for the rest of his life. So that happened in 1991.
He's still being jailed.
I know, it's crazy, right? Like, it's insane. It's an insane thing to do.
Tell me why you love this story again, because that's how
wait,
you
wait, wait, wait. I don't love this part.
Okay.
But it talks about the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, which I remember the lead up to that and talking about how it was going to be so hot, and they implemented all these new measures for how to keep horses cool, especially the event horses. They were really worried about. I remember those, like, they set up those cooling tents that had the misters. They did
I was in Atlanta. I mean, that's where I'm from, and I was a senior in high school in 1996. And
oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh, it was so fun to have the entire world focused on your city. But the kind of equestrian scandal, oh, my God, with the heat in July. And as I recall, it wasn't that bad at all.
Right. So, yeah, that was a big deal. Dressage freestyles made their debut, which actually I recall, and I've read articles about it being sort of a controversial thing. People were like, we don't want to destroy the purity of dressage by making it this circus thing to music. But of course, everyone loved it. And now the freestyle is like the only thing that spectators enjoy, you know, if they don't know anything about horses.
Right.
So that was exciting. Rolex Kentucky became a 4-star, which is also exciting. Nick Larkin and Red won that event, and I was there for that. It was in 1998, which was exciting.
Yep.
They took away the weight rule, which this seems crazy to me that it took so long to do this. But I guess in 1997, they took away that you had to carry 165 pounds on cross country, so like riders could stop putting lead weights on their horses if they weighed less than 165 pounds.
Isn't that
crazy? I
didn't
realize
crazy?
It went that long either.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I thought
it
that
seems
was
like such a bizarre thing.
Hmm. Was that
earlier?
Jennifer, was that only at the higher levels?
The weight restriction?
Yeah.
It had to be a 3-day event, which meant it was a long format. And I think the weight started at intermediate, didn't it?
Wow.
I don't think preliminary had a weight limit at that time.
Okay.
That must have been shocking to your horse once you made the jump from prelim to intermediate. Not only were the fences bigger, but now they were potentially carrying.
Yeah, I distinctly remember I was working for Jane Sleeper at the time, her getting her special saddle pad with the lead weights in it.
Wow.
She had to practice gallop sets with that on and the whole thing, yeah.
Can you imagine falling off and having the lead weights bunk you in the head?
Ugh.
You know what's funny
then
is that in 10 years when you guys, you know, chronicle the 2010s or whatever we're calling this, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, do you guys remember when the like 0.2 air vest was invented and all of a sudden there was air vest and it was just crazy? Because I'm still reeling from I remember when they started making medical armbands part of it.
Oh.
And I think that was in the 90s as well, when all of a sudden and try to explain to my parents why I'm wearing an armband. I'm like, just in case I'm unconscious. And they're like, what are you doing? What kind of sport is this? Like,
you have to have your blood type strapped to your arm.
Yep. And then of course they would, what doctor? I always just all my armbands say closest one. I prefer the closest
one.
Yeah,
who knows where the closest doctor is, wherever you happen to be.
Exactly.
Now,
that was
a bit of a little bit of a stink, too, because people didn't want to wear the armbands at first. That was, you know, like anything new, they didn't want to have the armbands on. So it's like anything else, you know. You change what you're doing, and people don't like it.
Absolutely. There was a big discussion, too, about helmets. HSA decided in 1991 that riders had to wear ASTM-approved helmets. But then there was some debate because, like, Pony Clovers, the helmets, I guess, were more expensive then. I'm not totally sure about this. I don't remember. And so Pony Clovers were, like, had those sort of plasticky, I do remember these helmets, kind of, like, plasticky white material that were, like, not technically ASTM-approved. And so there was a short sort of grace period where you could still wear that particular kind of helmet.
I remember when I had to make the switch, and I had such a nice, cute helmet, and then all of a sudden I had to wear this giant salad bowl on my head with some harness that looked like I was wearing headgear. You know?
Yeah, they had the plastic harnesses that actually went, like, it actually went down over your chin. I remember those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you used to put little cups in your chin.
Yeah, that seems so weird.
Yeah, I remember. And then the ones that didn't have the plastic had the, like, suede chin strap, and it would go under against your chin, and I would break out because, like, it was sweaty and nasty. I would always have pimples on my chin because it was always awful. Anyway, I digress. So there's been definitely a lot of changes, and if you guys want to check it out, go to chronofhorse.com, the chronicle over the decades, and you can go all the way back, you know, 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s. You guys have been around forever. So congratulations to the Chronicle for being relevant for so long and being a part of the horse world for so long.
Yeah, thanks. I wish I could say I've been a part of that, really, but I was...
Well, you said at the beginning of this interview that you're older, so...
Yeah, I know,
not quite that old.
I'm pretty old.
Well, tell the boyfriend we said hi. And
I will.
Well, and congratulations, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay all cool, right, Lisa. You. Stay cool.
Thanks.
Shut up.
Bye.
Oh, God! What would I wouldn't get for some humidity? Oh,
I was waiting the entire week since you saw the Doomsday movie that the world's going to end from a big meteor strike in about 2 months. Since you saw that movie, you've been all positive and happy, and you've been insisting that I be positive and happy. And I knew somebody was going to mention, but it's a dry heat. And that was going to be it. That all the positiveness was going out the window. It only took 2.5 days.
Listen, we had our third haboob in like 3 weeks last night.
Oh, did you?
A freaking huge dust storm. And as I was driving home at 12:30 in the morning, guess what temperature it was? 90 freaking 9 degrees at 12:30 in the morning. What is wrong with this place? Dear God. The high... Every day this week is 112. I have to remind myself, this is my winter. This is my winter. However, I'm trying to get my horse fit for a training level horse trial, and it's like I can't ride him long enough. So struggling.
Now, where's the horse trial again? That's next week.
It's in Flagstaff, and I actually have 2 weekends in a row. The first one is going to be the 7th and the 8th, and we're doing our first training level, the 7th and the 8th. And then there's a 3-day, which I'm only going to do just the horse trial version, but the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So 2 weekends in a row. Fortunately, they're both in Flagstaff. And Flagstaff is at 7,000 feet as the elevation, so it is so cool, and it's all wooded, and it's in the Coconino Forest. It's beautiful. So I'm excited to get up there and not sweat for at least a couple days.
I did see that. I saw the one article about the dust storm coming in. Now, you said that does cover everything in dust and the pool as well. Does it take, like, days for the pool to suck out the dust?
All I know is I got up this morning, and Chad, I'm talking to him because he was asleep by the time I got home last night, and he says to me, pool pump's broke.
Oh, no.
What do you mean? Pool pump, I don't know. It just quit working. And, of course, what that is the dust and dirt from the pool now going into the pump. Stupid Arizona. I'm negative for the rest of the day. I need more sleep. As soon as I wake up from my nap, I'll feel a lot better. 3 hours does not serve me anymore. I am not 21.
Okay, everybody, all the listeners out there, listen up. Jamie is back. The old Jamie is back.
No,
she'll be back.
No, I'm positive. I'm happy. Life is great. I need some sleep.
Why don't we end on that? Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you being here. You can find all of our past episodes of the Horses in the Morning Show. I noticed somebody asked that on Facebook yesterday. You can listen to all the past episodes of our show. That's back to episode number 1 at horsesinthemorning.com. You can listen to all the different shows we do on the network. There's 8 of them over at horseradionetwork.com. So feel free to do that. There's also, and I'm going to talk about this next week, I just wanted to, for you truly geeky, nerdy types, there is how I can say this. Apple is changing the way that you listen to podcasts on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod. So they're actually making it easier. They've taken podcasts and made them their own application. So I'm testing it now, playing with it, and I'll be able to talk to you more about how it all works next week. But it looks very simple, very easy, and makes it a lot easier than it was dealing with iTunes. So I think when you're listening to our shows, it's going to become much, much easier, and we'll talk about that next week as well. Plus, we have the 4th of July coming up. So happy weekend before the 4th, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Don't forget to get your ads in. You could win a 2-pack of the Illuminated Hoof Pick. Get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com.
Have a wonderful day, everybody. Sit, be peaceful, be nice, hug somebody, hug a stranger today.
Hey, Jamie.
Not you, Glenn. Back. You up. Spay, neuter, and yelp.
Welcome back, Jamie.
God, I hate this.